God's Word, and I have a title for our teaching today. Trials are to teach us warfare. Trials are to teach us warfare. We may wonder why it is that we go through much tribulation and trial in which to make it into the kingdom of God. And sometimes we forget that our trials are always a bigger picture. And so often when the trial comes or comes knocking at the door, comes unexpectedly, which often they do, we first have to battle with ourselves. And we have to soon realize that we've got to turn away from these trials and look wholly and completely to the Lord. Because otherwise we'll be completely overwhelmed by our trials. You see, these trials that God permits in our lives as Christians, we know, of course, are so often a work of the enemy. And the enemy knows that the nature of trials always cause us to be inward-looking, to blame other people, or to blame God, or whatever. That is how the enemy works through trials. And of course, many of our trials that we go through in this life are because of a fallen world. And indeed, why shouldn't we go through trials? The world goes through trials. Countries, governments, leaders all go through trials. But for us, who are Christian, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there's a greater and deeper and bigger purpose with regard to our trials. Because with our trials, we can give them over to the Lord. And that is where, in our trials, we see the miraculous power of Almighty God working through these trials. And that is what's so different. And the first thing when we go through these trials is that we have to get our face and heart and faith solely set upon the Lord. And that releases us from ourselves, from depression, from blaming, or whatever it is we may do through these trials. And as we turn our attention to the Lord, and we begin to experience that in our trials we're not on our own, but that He is with us also going through those trials, we not only learn that we are not on our own in these trials, but that God is teaching us something with regard to these trials. Because trials are to teach us warfare. Trials are to teach us faith, seeking God, waiting upon Him. Trials are also to teach us to actually let go and let God take over in a situation that in the natural is impossible. And we are slowly and gradually learning this within our trials. Because of course only God can bring us through those trials. And every time we come through our trials, and some of those trials are pretty deep, there is always something new that we learn about Almighty God, a greater revelation. You know, our trials so often are black. You can't see where you're going. You're in complete darkness. It doesn't make sense. It seems as though God has left you and forsaken you. And yet at the end of it, when suddenly that light appears, have you always noticed that that light is so different to the light that you were experiencing before? Because that trial has produced something in your life and my life. It's revealing more of Almighty God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But there is an area with our trials that I want to teach on today, and that is with regard to the title that I've given, Trials Are to Teach Us Warfare. And I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. And I'm going to read this out first. I'm sure you know this very well, but we're going to glean from this today. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletes, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first be a partaker of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, Trials Are to Teach Us Warfare. You see, looking back in this, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, particularly in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that is what is said to us as well. We are going to have trials. And it's no good trying to be in denial in this or trying to escape. We are in this life going to have trials. And the key to this is to endure those hardships, endure those trials. We need to endure so that we can see the mighty hand of God deliver. Otherwise, we're not going to see, we're not going to experience, our lives are not going to change and conform to His image if we run away every time a trial comes. And remember, of course, there's nowhere to run to. You take it with you. That is the enemy's lie. So God calls us by His grace and mercy to stay in there and endure, and in time you will see the bigger picture of why God has allowed you to go through that particular trial. But then verse 4 is equally important, because he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, through redemption, through the new birth, a new creation in Christ Jesus, you have also been enlisted into God's army. That is part of salvation. That is part of our sojourning in this life, why we still remain here. Because we are up against an enemy, the God of this world. And God has to teach us spiritual warfare. I believe one of the tragedies today of the 21st century contemporary church is that they are running away from spiritual warfare. And we cannot. We run away because we don't endure. We run away because we want to listen to a different message or a different teacher. Or I don't want to hear about the fact that I have to go through trials or whatever it will be. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy here, this young pastor, to stay with this and to show him that you are a soldier enlisted in God's army and you are in warfare. And because you are in warfare, you cannot get entangled with the world and its ways, its logic, its ideas. They may all sound feasible, but they are not God's ways. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. We do not know the ways of the Lord unless the Holy Spirit reveals. They cannot be found through human intellect, through emotion, or through our senses. And yet Christians at times still try to find God in that way, and you cannot. We are those redeemed who worship God in spirit and in truth. God has to reveal himself. It is divine revelation. To understand the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has to illumine our minds and hearts to understand the revelation of these 66 books that we hold. We are completely incapable of understanding any of this unless God enlightens us and reveals to us. And one of the things that I believe the church in this last day desperately needs is revelation from God with regard to the enemy, his tactics, and how he's working. Because he will reveal what he's up to. As well as the scriptures, we have the book of Revelation, where God is now unfolding the revelation of that book in these last days. But it has to be revealed. And why I believe we miss it so often, because we're too engaged with the world. We're still listening too much to the world, to the politicians, to those false prophets out there. We're still relying too much on the arm of the flesh. And it hinders, because we know that the flesh and the spirit are in warfare. Flesh and spirit will never agree. That is why, as Christians, we too are to take up our cross and walk daily with the Lord. That death to that self-life, that selfish life that is within us, so that we can hear from God, that we can walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And the enemy knows how to get us entangled in the affairs of this world. And it will mar your discernment. It will weaken you for warfare. One of the things the world will do, it will consume your time when you can give that time to God and to seek him and for fellowship. The things of the world will get you very, very busy and busy doing nothing. And you cannot engage in the things of warfare. You cannot function fully as that soldier in the army of God. The enemy is a master at this. He knows how to stop us in warfare, because he knows that our warfare, whether it's corporal or individual, is dividing his kingdom. And he knows that. And God wants his people to know that. He also says to the Timothy in verse 5 that we are in a race. We're like athletes. We're competing. And we have to do according to the rules. So what is God doing even today, now, this moment? He's teaching us the rules. There's rules attached to this. We're not free to do what we want to do when we feel like it or whatever it is. We have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We now belong to the Lord. We are His peculiar treasure. He has redeemed us at Calvary. He has paid the price for you and me, and He didn't have to do it. So there are rules that attach to this, and they are not rules that cannot be kept, that are too much of a burden. No, they're not. God doesn't work that way. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light, He says. And yet so often we accuse Him that He's so hard, He demands so much, and I cannot do it. That is believing the enemy's lies. We have to be trained for warfare, brothers and sisters. The church is moving in the last days to her greatest onslaught, and that is the enemy. He is going to come with vengeance to try and destroy the Christian church. And yet we are so asleep. And I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. Part of them are going asleep. But the 5 wise, they're remaining alert, awake, with their oil and the vessels, the oil of anointing for the last days. So, going back then to our trials, I've already given some insight to what our trials are, but there's another area what our trials are doing, and that is to humble us. Because a humble servant is effective for warfare. And that is why He brings us down low outwardly. That is why at times we look a failure, we look a joke, we're a laughing stock. But God is ever weakening us so that we can rise up in His power and might. You are in your strength, you are no match for warfare and the enemy. You have to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to rise up in His strength and power and might, in which to be effective in warfare. And that is what He's teaching us. And so our trials are so designed that they are to humble us in order that we become effective for warfare. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of James. James chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures, that your war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then we draw near to him. There it is. He gives it absolutely clear. all of those things that he speaks about that are in the world and sadly can be found in professing believers, they're all motivated by pride. And that is why he humbles us, so that we are delivered from that list of what we have just read to you there. He says, war, they fight. They desire pleasures. They lust. They don't have. Murder, covet. Well, it doesn't mean you go out and murder, but you can have anger, resentment against your brother or sister. And they don't obtain anything. They don't grow in the Lord. They're not in relationship with God. They think they are, but they're not. They fight, they war, they strife. They don't have because they don't ask. So they're so consumed in warfare, criticism, gossip, resentment, all of those things. They're so consumed with all of that. It's plaguing their minds 24/7 that they're not in that place to ask of God to grow spiritually. Because he says it, you ask, you don't receive. You ask amiss. Because you're spending times on your own pleasures, your own lusts, your own resentment, your own pride. There, it's all there. And sadly, that can go on in the house of God. And the enemy uses that to weaken warfare. Because sometimes our warfare is required, not just yourself before God, but the church as well in prayer, entering into warfare. And if you've got people, saints in the church, who are resentful, angry, or got it against someone, or whatever it is, it's ineffective. It cannot be effective before God. The enemy's got a hold in there. Your prayers are going no higher than the ceiling. This is why when we come to our meetings, and certainly when we come for a prayer meeting, it's so important that we search our hearts, that we come together with clean hands and a pure heart. Because my sin, my resentment, my anger, my criticism can hinder my brothers and sisters who have come with the right heart and spirit to pray and seek God. That's what I'm doing to them. God forbid that I would do that. And yet it's been done. Because we're so consumed about ourselves, we're not bothered about anyone else or God. And the enemy has a foothold. And so warfare cannot be effective. And James hits the nail on the head here. Because he says, if you humble yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get free. Are you consumed in resentment, anger, unforgiveness? The only way you get free and delivered is to humble yourself before God. And in that time, you then can resist the enemy and get him off your back. There is no other way. But all the while, you blame everyone else because it's their fault. You cannot get free. And sadly, those who resist God in that way, who will not bow the knee, sadly you find they start to get worse and worse and worse because stronger demons are getting in. And that is sadly why we have so much mental oppression in the world today. And sadly, among young people, and depression, it's become epidemic. And the key to it is because we live in an age and generation where everyone, so many have become proud and puffed up and arrogant. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. So often this is staring us right in our face, but we don't want to see it. We don't want to see it in our loved ones. But there it is. But when we do see it, and we see this pride, this arrogance, we can sometimes start to war against that, or somebody in our family. You can get into effective warfare against what is working in them. Because I'm just showing you here. When you're right with God, walking with God, you are effective in warfare. And the Holy Spirit's going to start to show you. This is why we can pray for our loved ones. We can pray for our families. We can believe for their salvation. But sometimes it's required warfare from you. You're not up against flesh and blood. You're up against powers, principalities, demons. And God has to open our eyes to see these things. The problem is we get too emotionally involved. And we have to stand back and realize what is working through my son, my daughter, the boss at work, or whatever it is. What is that that's working through them? Doesn't take long. You'll always find there's arrogance, there's pride there, which holds all this stuff. That is why God wants to teach us to war. But we don't always listen because we're all too busy. Busy, busy. Let's look at Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. And so it goes on. There you are. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. Do you want God to train you? That is the question. He's not going to force anything on us. But he will train us for warfare if we want that. 2 Samuel Chapter 22, verse 35. 2 Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 35. He says here to David, he's saying this to King David against the Philistines, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And you've got to be pretty strong to bend a bow of bronze. And that's what he does. He's asking God to teach him to come against his enemies, the Philistines. And we need to ask God to teach us. And the only way he will teach us is when we bow our knee in humility. And that is why he allows us to go through these trials to get our attention. Very often, your trials, my trials, are actually to God getting our attention so that he can teach us for warfare. He teaches, he takes hold of our hands spiritually for warfare. So it is important that we see this, brothers and sisters. And you need the Holy Spirit to teach you this. And if you yield your life over to him, then God is going to do it in and through you. Because we know the battle is not ours anyway. And as I've said many times before, we are the only people in the house of God whom, when we go into battle, we already have won the victory. The world doesn't have that revelation out there. But you do, I do. And if you are doing it God's way, you know, as you are going into warfare, you have won the victory. It's already won in Christ Jesus. We know that because he said it's done, it's finished. There's nothing more. That's what he said. Here I am. I have overcome death, the final thing. And he presented himself before the Father. Complete, done, finished. Nothing more. The battle's won. That is why this must always be in him. And not yourself, not your own efforts or whatever. Otherwise, we're no match for the enemy. That's why his victory is your victory. The finished work is your finished work. His triumph over all powers, dominions, the enemy, the god of this world, is yours also. Everything that he has achieved and done, you have also in Christ Jesus. The very spirit that worked in him to overcome all of these things is the same spirit in you and me. Why is it we don't believe? Because we still get too entangled in the things of this world. And the enemy knows exactly where to weaken us. To weaken us in power, rising up in him. That is what he's attacking with the overcomers. I know it because that is where he attacks me all so often. He hates what God is doing in us and through many others. The enemy hates when a saint yields their lives over to God because he knows that that is weakening his kingdom. And that is why the Holy Spirit disciplines us. He teaches us. And he shows us that he's made us a part of his army. And like all soldiers, they have to be trained. And they're trained for warfare. And the only way you can be trained is when you remain faithful and you endure. But as we see so often, so many professing Christians are always running away. They're running away from God. Every time God tries to get their attention, tries to corner them, show them a better way, a better life, we run. And where can we run to? We always take it with us, wherever we go. I believe God in this last days has a remnant whom he has cornered in his mercy and grace. And he's showing us that there's no way of escape. Because he wants to teach us. He wants us now in these last days to be effective. To be able to enter into spiritual warfare. And know that we put the enemy to flight. But he has to show us our enemy. He has to open our eyes to the way that the devil is working. Because we know that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. And that is revelation. Your eyes have to be open to see that. But one of the things I have learned as I bring this now to a close, that the more God opens your eyes to see this, the more you want it. The more you realize this is nothing to do about emotions or feelings or flesh. This is real in the spiritual realm. And that is where our eyes need to be opened. And that is why he allows us to go through trials and tribulations in order for us to be able to see. Because the very nature of our trials is to show the bigger picture, that God is on the scene. He's with us, leading and guiding us. That is why we have to go through much trial, tribulation, in which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. But God has promised that he will never leave us or nor forsake us. I'm sure all of us, when we look at our lives thus far and the trials that we've gone through and we've come out the other end, it has always produced something within us. We've always seen that the picture is much bigger than we thought. It has made us more spiritually alert and discerning and sensitive to the Spirit and his ways and what he's saying. And that is why we can endure, we can stay in with these trials, because of what it's producing, what will come out at the end of it. But brothers and sisters, our trials are to teach us warfare. And I have already read to you the scriptures today that show us this in James 4, 2 Samuel 22, Psalm 144, all of these showing us that God wants to teach us, to use us for spiritual warfare in these last days. We must be awake for this. We cannot run away. We cannot be asleep, because the Christian church, the overcomers, are facing their final lap, and it's going to be a warfare against the powers of darkness, because the enemy is out to destroy the Christian church. Let's make no bones about it. And he's going to work in the most devilish ways in which to try and achieve this. But you have to decide whether you want to be that wise virgin or those other five virgins that go off to sleep. We cannot be like the ostrich, burying our heads in the sand. Those days are finished. The world is rapidly falling away, moving towards the final judgments and the wrath of God, sadly. And we have now to rise up in Christ and allow the Spirit to work through us and to prepare us. That is why we say so often, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it will be by the Spirit of God that he will work this work. But we are soldiers being trained, and we have to learn to do it his way. And that is why he's training us. And one of the ways that he trains us, because it's so effective, is the trials that you go through and I go through. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again. We thank you, Lord, that you have not forsaken us or left us, even though we may feel that at times. And we know that all the trials that we go through, which are many, are all to humble us, to teach us, and to show us your greatness, your power, your might. And Lord, you have promised also that you will not let us be tried or tested above that which we're able to endure. And even at times in our trials when we feel we're just going under, we can't take any more, the strain has become too much, there you are, with your loving hands, supporting, preserving and keeping us. Father, help us to learn. Open our eyes and ears and heart to what you want us to know. Father, may we be those soldiers in this spiritual army. Father, forgive us that we hinder you from training us, preparing us and teaching us, that we can get sidetracked, distracted by the things of this world. Lord, forgive us, Father. Father, deal with that pride within us that still can cause us to be independent of you. Help us to yield, to keep our knees bowed in your presence, and that the enemy will be off our back. Father, I thank you for our fellowship today and all the saints that you have brought into the room. Lord, my prayer is always that you will preserve and keep them in this world. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation, from themselves. May they learn to walk in the Spirit. May they experience more of Christ in them and less of them. Cause them to look away from this world and to look upward and behold the kingdom of heaven. Father, give them foretastes of what it is that is in heaven in this life. Father, raise them up whole in mind, body, and spirit. Cause your light to shine through them in this world of darkness, that wherever you lead and guide them, they may be a blessing, that they may bring life, the life of Christ, into the places of darkness. Father, help them to love the unlovable, to turn the other cheek if need be. Strengthen them in their heart when they're lied and gossiped about or ridiculed. May your power always take over in every situation. For this I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.